to the conferencing service. Please enter your conference ID followed by the pound sign. Thank you. Please hold while we validate your conference ID. Thank you. Your conference will now begin.
Earlier. But it didn't, I mean, it didn't sound like it was on top. It was just, I could, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm sensitive to sound, so.
Yeah.
So if I hear it, I'll point it out to you. And then you can say, decide or not.
Okay.
Okay, I can hear it now.
No, I can't hear anything.
Okay, good. There's going to be another one, too.
Yep, I hear it. You're in New York City? Sounds like New York City.
I live in New York City, baby. Right in the middle of it.
Oh, man.
I live on an avenue, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking down at four lanes of traffic right now. And that's the problem with the cops is that they have trouble getting through because of all the traffic. So they tend to, like, get stuck every block. But, I mean, you know, that's as long as it usually lasts.
Yeah. There we go. With that, so I'll start with that, and then as you hear it fade out, that's kind of your cue to
I
go
I can start
ahead.
Talking.
You can start talking.
Oh, okay, that's great. That's hilarious. That's awesome.
And
is that like, it's like built in, part of theirs?
Yeah. It's. I mean, this system is so cool, man. I mean, it's just made my life so much easier.
That's awesome.
Before. And,
what were you doing before?
Before I was, I had like all the hardware and software at my home to get a really good capture off of a phone interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then
what
I
do you use?
It's called a USB recorder. I got it through Hello Direct. It's like a special little like device that they have. You kind of hook your phone into it. It's a little control device.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's a great, great capture. But then I was taking the, you know, then I put it through SoundForge, and I'd have to. What I was doing are webinars where I was basically splicing up the audio and attaching it to slides, and then it was kind of an audio-visual type presentation.
Right.
Which was fine. It worked great. It gave people something to look at and follow along with, but it just it would take me 2 hours to do everything. And so this thing just
sure.
does it all for me, and I don't even care about the slides anymore. So
sweet.
Nobody else seems to care either. But
right.
So yeah, this is much better. But anyway, so I have six tips that I'll go over as part what I have here. So I've got everything already ready to go.
Okay.
And you have all the kind of intros and stuff there. You can kind of blend it in where however you want to. That's just kind of a template for you. But everything's there. So.
It seems pretty basic. You know, I'm going to do this interview, do this introduction. How do you want me to introduce myself? Jason White.
Go ahead and put
Strength Nation.
Yeah, do it as like you're doing the just like one of your interviews. Because I mean, go ahead and use this if you whenever you want to for you know one of our interviews for Strength Nation. Just put it up whenever.
Oh, okay, excellent.
You'll download the MP3. you can just come back. I'll send you the link again back to the page. You can just go and download that MP3, and it'll be, as far as I'm concerned, it's yours, and I'm just going to put it up as, hey, I did this uncensored interview with Jason White from Strength Nation, and I'm going to give you a copy of it. So.
Excellent. Okay, that's great.
All right.
That's excellent, because it'll make it flow easier.
Sure, yeah. All right.
Better. Okay, so we'll do that. I'll do this intro. Make sure we get I'm going to follow this pattern. So, you know, I'm going to basically use your template, you know, blend it in. So I'll say, you know, thanks for carving out some time for us. Your response is just a thanks, great to be here kind of thing.
Yep.
Now I'm going to say, before we get into the actual six weight room warfare secrets, tell us a little bit about your background. Then you, then the tips. What is it about the topic of training intensity that you think is so important? Then you, and then it's just kind of going to flow from there.
Yeah, from there, you just say, okay, Jeff, let's go ahead and get into the meat of it, and then it's up to me from there. I mean, just feel free to interject anything along the way, you know, like you normally do to make it flow, but...
Yeah, we'll keep it conversational.
Yeah. But I'm going to blitz through those things, and, you know, we'll get through.
And let's see. I'm just looking at your mass building secrets, wondering if there's anything that I'm gonna be your sounding board, so you hear me be like, okay, cool, or yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. You know, just kind of keeping myself in the flow rather than just go dead.
Yeah. Or if you make an, you know, if you have an observation from you.
Yeah. If something comes up that I noticed, and especially if there's a good counterpoint.
Yeah.
You know, or for instance, where I could say, you know. I don't know, just off the top of my head, oh, well, I just read this study about caffeine that says blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
So that we, you know, we stay in that give and take kind of area.
Okay.
And then wrap it up. I'm sure our listeners getting a lot. Yep, this should be no problem.
Okay, cool. Just so I have a heads up, what about caffeine did you read about that you would bring?
No, well, some people might make them too jittery.
Okay, that's a perfect one, because that is one of the.
No, I mean, I didn't read anything specific about caffeine that says.
Okay. Did you read?
Matter of fact, the only thing I've read about caffeine. Say it again.
No, I was going to say, when you bring up, did you read the, Dr. Professor Poindexter brought up that it's adrenaline by 0.3 nanometers.
No, I won't go that crazy. You're like, son of a bitch, dude. Not the kind of interview I expected.
You're shooting me, yeah.
Yeah, no, there won't be any ambushes.
Okay.
But I might, you know, I think caffeine is such an interesting, I mean, everything I've heard about caffeine says it's the most benign, beneficial drug you could conceivably take. Mm-hmm. That nobody has any problem taking it, really.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and I can go anywhere you want with that, so that's cool.
Okay, good.
All right, man. You ready?
I am ready when you are.
Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is Jason White for StrengthNation.com. And this is an extra special interview because I have with me on the phone none other than Jeff Anderson, who I coaxed into taking out some time to talk about a topic that very few people even think about in their training. But this topic is absolutely necessary in order to maximize your results in the gym. I'm talking about how to bring your full focus to your every single workout and really attack your training with intensity. Now, you may know Jeff as the muscle nerd. He's the creator of popular fitness programs like Optimum Anabolics, Combat the Fat. His homemade supplement secrets is outstanding, and he has a free video membership site called UndergroundBodybuildingTips.com. He's a bodybuilding maven online But I'm really excited about this topic we're going to cover in this interview because it touches on what I think is an area that is really overlooked in the world of training. So, Jeff, thank you for carving out some time.
No, thanks, man. It's always great doing an interview with you. I love our conversation. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that because I really enjoy talking with you, too. Every time I get you on the phone, I feel like I learn more and more and more. So before we get into the actual topic here, we're calling it Six Weight Room Warfare Secrets. You're going to share these with us. But first, I always like to get a little background on people who I have on the phone. So give us a little bit about your background.
Okay, I mean, I'll keep it a little bit short because this is the part that everybody kind of hates. In fact, this is a little bit off topic, but I was on a webinar. I was listening to a webinar this week, and the guy took, I actually timed it, took 37 minutes to give his introduction. It was literally like, well, first I did this, and then the next week I quit my job, and then I did it. And it was like, I kept waiting for them to get any content. So I'll keep it short for everybody. But basically, for those of people that know me, I'm the muscle nerd online. You put a little bit too much emphasis on the word nerd there when you gave me my intro, by the way. But, you know, really, I'm an average guy that had really cursed genetics growing up. So I'm one of those typical type skinny type guys that wanted to look better at the beach, tried for years, was so very frustrated. You know, I was the cross-country runner in school. And, you know, tried playing basketball and things like that. But I didn't excel very much because I was so wiry and so thin. And so, obviously, whether you're overweight or whether you're underweight, you always want the opposite of what you have. So I wanted to grow muscle. I wanted to get bigger and stronger. And unfortunately, everything that I tried didn't work. So how I got my nickname was just that I just became the most insane researcher, and that's where I got kind of the muscle nerd. I kept training notes of absolutely everything that I possibly did in my training. I mean everything. I would have literally like 3, 4, 5 notebooks that I would take with me to the gym to kind of experiment with different variables of my workouts and what I was doing outside of the gym to see what was really working. And that was where I kind of stumbled upon some really, really amazing discoveries in how to build muscle, how to burn fat, and just really, really come up with some unique training strategies that have yielded some pretty amazing products that are now being used by some professional bodybuilders, including some IFBB pros, as well as a lot of natural bodybuilder contestants that are doing those types of shows. A lot of personal trainers and things like that. Other than that, my background is kind of one of the reasons that we're doing this one is in the and why I call this the six weight room warfare tactics, because I have a background in the military. I was a combat soldier, an infantry soldier in the United States Army for 10 years, and during that time I was also a master fitness trainer and a weight control specialist. So that was where I really started to dig into some advanced training in working out in training myself and my soldiers and really learned some pretty unique tactics that were being used by the military from their experimentation and everything. So a lot of great stuff there, and ultimately that's where I came to today. It was to really take everything that I've learned from all of my struggles, from all of my achievements, and become the, how I'm kind of termed online, is the champion for the average Joe. I'm not really about the IFBB pros that are using my program or the natural contestants that are using my program. The people that I like to recognize are those average guys and women who I go to the gym and I see to the left and to the right of me. They're just the average people who are going and working their butts off at the gym, trying to find something that works in getting the body that they want and providing them with kind of what I call the advanced tips for how they can get the most done with the least amount of effort there at the gym and really see some results.
That's great because I usually feel like an average Joe. You know, I'm not I don't have a hulking 6'6" frame or everything, and I feel like I have to work for every little scrap of muscle I get. So I'm excited to hear about this new sort of segment that you have in the realm of training, because I feel like any advantage I can get, I will definitely take it. So what I want to get before we get into the meat of the tips is what you think about this this new concept? Like, why is it so important? Why is it overlooked? I mean, how did we get to this actual part?
Yeah, I think the reason why I think this is so important is because it's just not thought of. It's not really given its true importance of and value in your overall fitness program. I mean, this topic of intensity that we're talking about really attacking the weights. And this was something that, you know, a lot of people think that just going to the gym and that forced rep that their buddy helps them get out on the bench press, like, that equates to an intense workout. But the rest of their workout may be just total crap. And when I go to the gym, that's kind of one of my pet peeves, is to go and I see people training, and I see them training regularly. It's not like they're just stopping in for the weekend. I see people training there regularly, and I know that they really do want to, you know, build muscle. They want to have a good workout, but they, to me, even if they have the perfect workout, even if they have the perfect program, unless you bring the mental commitment and dedication, and in the military we called it intestinal fortitude, to your workout, you're going to get submaximal results. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're going to train, train with full intensity. Train to accomplish your goal. In the military, we didn't do anything half-assed. There wasn't like, oh, yeah, there's the objective, and, you know, we'll kind of fire off some rounds and see how close we can get to it. It was, there's the objective, there's the hill, and in between me and that hill is a whole bunch of razor, concertina wire, you know, barbed wire, landmines, tanks, other soldiers firing back at me, whatever it was. It didn't matter what was in front of me. What I was going to do was plow through that however I needed to and take the hill, because there's no other alternative. Taking that hill is the only thing in my mind. And it's that kind of intensity that I'm talking about bringing to bring into your workouts. Because like I said, you're there to train. You're there for 45 minutes, an hour, however long you're going to be there. So why would you go and do a half-ass? Go there and actually do some damage.
But what you bring up is like a near life or death kind of situation, right? You have to take a hill. There's no other alternative. So that sounds great if you're a soldier, but I'm just a guy going to the gym. So how do we take this idea of intensity and bring it into the gym? Like, what are your tips, man? What's the story?
So that's a great point, and it's going to lead into actually some of the tricks that I'm going to tell you about. I mean, one thing is you can look at some of the extraordinary feats that people do when they're intense. I mean, everybody's heard the stories of, okay, car accident happens, car rolls over on small child, you know, 87-year-old grandmother gets out and lifts the car over her head and throws it 100 meters to save the child. You know, that kind of that super intense strength that we're all capable of, but it's the mental aspect of it that allows it to happen. It's the biological triggers that happen as a result of the mind and triggering adrenaline and those strength and the intensity, all of those different things that actually we get little peaks of just about every day. We get little peaks of it here and there. But the reason why I talk about it in such a way that's like life or death is going to lead into one of the tips that I'm going to go into. And it's about increasing. It's about expanding upon what your perceived reality is of something and making it even bigger and the benefit of that. So I talk about things in extreme measures, and there's a reason for that. And you're just going to have to hold on, Jason, because I'll get to it. So let me go. I'll go ahead and get started here. I actually have six secrets that I want to reveal, and
okay.
I call them weight room warfare secrets here. And there's, like I said, there's a reason. I'm a soldier, so everything I talk about is kind of like that. I'm brainwashed. But anyway, let me go ahead and get into these. The first weight room warfare secret is every war has a plan, so you have to see your workouts as a war. See, I've already started here, and there's the soldier coming out of me. I do talk about combat quite a bit and relate it in terms, because all these things I learned in the military actually have a very practical purpose in a fitness program as well. So let me give you a little bit of a glimpse into the military. When you have a major combat operation, a war is made up of an objective and battles that bring you to your objective. Well, when you go to the gym, you want to enter into a zone. You want to get into a zone. You have to look at your workout as an actual war. And these sets that you're going to go through, every repetition, these are all battles that are going to take part in the war. So if you win those battles, you win the war. And your goal is to leave that gym with winning the war. And part of that happens before you even get into your workout. Like I said, when you get there, you want to enter the zone. You want to feel it pulsing through your veins. It's like an inner sanctum that you really, really mean business. And you don't want to lose that flow of your workout once you're in that zone. And too many guys I see just kind of wandering around the gym, scratching their head, trying to figure out how they're going to work out, or they're talking with their buddies, or they're ogling the women, or whatever it is. They're only just doing a half-assed workout because they're not really in that zone. And the first thing you want to do is make sure that you're going there with an actual program, that you're not just going there to fumble through the weight. So I'm a firm believer that you need to have a workout journal, that you need to have something that you're already programmed, that you know what muscles you're going to work, you know what exercises you're going to do, you know what your starting weight is for each one of those exercises. Because I've seen too many people just get in there, they start lifting the weight, and they realize, oh, it's 20 pounds too heavy or whatever. And you wasted a battle. You wasted a set because you started with either too low of a weight or too high of a weight. So a workout journal is one of those tools, or one of those weapons, I like to call them, that are so very important to you when you're actually doing your training, or even before you get into your training, because that's going to be your roadmap to how you're going to do it. It's going to save you a lot of time in the gym. It's going to make your workouts even more intense because you're going to be prepared. Now, there are some other quote-unquote weapons that I think everybody should be bringing to their workouts. And I'm going to go down them here. You need to bring a stopwatch, either one that you hold in your hand or one that you keep on your wrist. Now, people who have read my programs know that this is how nerdy I am. I actually time all of my rest periods. And there's a reason for that, and it's probably worthy of a whole other interview that we actually do, because some people kind of poo-poo the whole thing, like, get in there and just tear your body apart. It doesn't matter like how long your rest periods are or anything like that. I don't believe that. I believe that, in fact, I know that varying your rest periods and how you treat your rest periods makes a big difference in how your body responds to your training. So, one of the things you're going to bring is a stopwatch. The other thing is a training journal. You're also going to have two towels with you. And I'm going to go into why these are important and one of the other tips here. But right now, just kind of consider this your own little arsenal. Stopwatch, training journal, two towels, and a water bottle. And those are going to be your weapons that you're going to take to the gym. Now,
so these are the weapons you need for a battle.
These are the weapons.
And we're thinking about it in terms of a battle.
Exactly. So when you go into that gym, you're going to already have your plan. You're going to have your training journal in hand. You're going to know what your sets are, know what your reps are. Because, again, the whole purpose here is to enter the zone and to maximize that time and not disrupt your flow. If you're fumbling through weights, if you have the wrong weights that you're going to be starting with, if you're using the wrong exercises, if you're trying to figure out what equipment to use, it all disrupts your flow. And what you want to do is get in there, enter the zone, and stay in the zone the entire time. Now, the last weapon that I'll bring up is going to be a set of headphones. And to me, this is a no-brainer. I don't know how many people out there actually use headphones or listen to music when they're working out, but it's one of the things I'm going to talk about a little bit later on, but it is one of those things I think that everybody should have when they go to the gym, because when you do, that helps you stay in the zone. Actually, that's going to lead into another tip later on, so I'll go into that. But let's go into weight room warfare secret number two.
Okay, number one is have the plan, the journal, the towels, the water bottle, the music. It's all about preparation and focus on the task at hand.
Exactly. It's considering your workout as a war, and that it's made up of battles, and you have your weapons, and you have the battles that you're prepared for, and you enter there with a plan.
Sweet. Okay.
And the second one is fight your battles one at a time. And what I mean by that is every set has to be its own battle. And again, war is comprised of these several battles. So you have several sets during your exercise. Each one is its own battle in the war. So that includes all of your sets, all of your reps. And what you want to do is, to do this effectively, you need to train with total abandon. Because your goal here, just like in war, your goal is to overwhelm the enemy. Your goal is to just pulverize them until they surrender. Well, in your workout, your goal is to win every single repetition of every single set so that you can overwhelm your muscle fibers, causing that microscopic damage that stimulates growth. So if you focus on every single repetition with total abandon, that nothing else exists in the world except for that one set, then that means you're making sure that you're using perfect form on your repetitions, that you're concentrated on your repetitions, and that you are giving maximum effort into your repetitions. Now, it's those last reps, those are what I call the money reps. That's where you get your maximum fiber stimulation, and you do the most damage to your muscle fibers, because your muscle's output is at maximum intensity at that point. You've used up adenosine triphosphate. You're really maxed out. You're forcing those fibers to really stimulate your central nervous system to the maximum point. And those last reps are the one where you really do a lot of damage in a good way. There was even I forgot what pro bodybuilder it was, but he was known for only doing one rep sets. Now,
Mike Pesser.
Yes. Now, there's debate over whether that really meant you get in there and you do one rep, but it was, or if it was a matter of, okay, you had your warm-up set, you had all this, but it was that money rep that was where most people couldn't even get to. They couldn't even get to that point. That was where, in my understanding, that's where you make that one rep.
The last rep, that's when, you know, when you take it to failure, you know, and sometimes you had mentioned before, your buddy helps you do a force negative. Does that mean you always have to have a training partner so that you can, you know, get the extra repetition? Or is it really just about concentrating on what muscle group you're working, what exercise you're doing, to the point where you can really, really feel the stimulation?
Yeah, that's such a great point, because let's look at it like that, because how many times have you been doing a bench press and you have a spotter there, and you're pushing the weight up, or let's say you're a spotter and your buddy is down there and he's got the bench, he's doing the bench press, and that he's on his last repetition and he's struggling, he can't get it, you know, he's got about 6 inches off of his chest and he's struggling to get it up and he just can't seem to do it, and as a spotter you come down and you stick two fingers, your left one and your right one, your pointer fingers, underneath the bar. And all of a sudden that bar starts magically traveling up. And you're not even doing anything. You know what I mean?
You're not even doing anything.
He was about ready to come crashing down on his chest earlier, but you stick a couple fingers there, and all of a sudden, like magic, here it comes. That's an example of everybody has more output in them, but it's being able to tap into that. That's what really stimulates those fibers. It's realizing that you have more in you if you can trigger your mind, both consciously and subconsciously, to be able to give you everything it's got during your workouts.
That's what it takes.
Yes.
That's what it takes. Getting that mentality.
Right. For advanced training, I'm talking about, I mean, a lot of people are, I mean, you know, they're fine with going into the gym and getting on the elliptical and reading, you know, Hers magazine or Cosmopolitan or whatever. You know. I know you do that.
Don't get me started. You're a big Cosmo reader,
aren't you? I know. So, you know, a lot of people are fine with getting, and that's absolutely fine. I'm not talking about, you know, if you're running into your Pilates class, your yoga class, and you're all jacked with adrenaline and you're, you know, just freaking out and bouncing off the walls, obviously this isn't for you. But I'm talking about those people out there, both men and women, but mostly the guys who really do, you know, they're trying to train hard, or they think they're training hard because they pulled a couple of pages out of a bodybuilding magazine and they're working with Ronnie Coleman's bicep training routine or whatever. You know, I'm talking to these guys, that a lot of these people think they're training hard and they're just not training that intensely. So,
and that's really the trick.
Yeah.
Is really discovering your hidden abilities.
Absolutely, absolutely. And fortunately, there is an aid that you have, and it leads us into weight room warfare secret number three, because you can pharmaceutically induce these hidden triggers through one of my favorite supplements, caffeine.
Right.
And caffeine is a very, very powerful stimulant, as any Starbucks junkie actually knows.
Right.
And it's one of my favorite supplements because it's the one that most helps you during your training. And even more than things like creatine that helps you, you know, kind of pump up your levels of adenosine triphosphate or, you know, phosphate molecules for your energy cycles. But most other supplements are there for the recovery process. Everything that happens outside of the gym. Everything that happens, all that muscle recovery, your proteins, all your amino acids, all these things that can help you as a result of your training and help you build more, which is great. All that helps you build more muscle. But recovery is only as powerful as the need that you create in your body through your training. So you're not going to take all these supplements if you have a substandard program and you're not giving everything you can in your training, then you can take all the supporting supplements that you want. But unless you develop enough of a need in your body that you need that level of recovery, it's not going to do you much good. Well, caffeine is the very best supplement that you can add that will give you that phenomenal power, that focus, and that intensity to take to your workouts and take them to the max. And college students know this because when they go in to take a test, in fact, I've got a 21-year-old son who's in college, and he never drank coffee in his life. And he was stressing out about his finals. He's like, man, I'm so dog tired. It's like, I can't. I said, are you drinking coffee? He's like, no. He's like, well, you know, why don't you go ahead and, you know, just stop at Starbucks and get a small coffee. Now, at Starbucks, you don't want to get like a giant coffee and head into your test if it's your first time doing caffeine. But just get a small coffee right before your test. Well, he did that, and he realized that caffeine actually gives you mental focus. And we're not just talking about brute power here. We're also talking about bringing focus to your workout. We're going to talk a little bit more about that also in another tip. But caffeine brings not only that the adrenaline that you can, that get up and go for your workout, but also the mental focus and the fatigue resistance that will help you train harder and longer during your workouts and give not just peak out like halfway through your workout, but actually help sustain you through your workout so that you can get a lot out of it.
Jeff, and, is caffeine right for everybody?
You know, everybody has their different tolerance levels for caffeine. Here's how I use it. I actually use it quite a few different ways. But one way that people can do it if they're just experimenting with this, I mean, if you can drink coffee, then you're fine with caffeine because that's what's in coffee. So if you can drink coffee, you can take caffeine as a supplement as well, or you can just drink coffee. I mean, in one small cup of coffee is about 86 milligrams of caffeine. And studies have shown that you can do as much as or even more than in some cases. But I tell people to limit it at like 500 milligrams per day. And what I do is on my way to the gym, as I'm driving to the gym, I take 200 milligrams of caffeine. Now, you can get this at any, like, drugstore, like No Dose, that kind of a thing. I suggest
right.
going to, like, an Eckerd's or Walgreens or something like that, and you find a bottle of, it's kind of their knockoff of No Dose. I mean, you can get a whole bottle with, like, 60 tablets in it, 200 milligram tablets for, I don't know, like $4 or $5. It's really super cheap. Get the ones that don't have the plastic buffered coating on it or whatever, just get the regular tablets. Take a couple of spoons, so stick it between two spoons and crumble it up and put it in a small cup of coffee and just drink that on the way to the gym. Because then once you step out on the gym floor, you're already jacked and ready to go. I mean, you'll feel it. It's like if you can just imagine guzzling like a large coffee from Starbucks and then another with an extra shot in it. I mean, that's what it's like. So, you know, I've never had any problems. I do upwards of 500 to 600 milligrams on my workout days of caffeine throughout the day, and I don't have any problems. Some people, you know, have been warned about being jittery. Some people have been warned about nervousness, things like that. Obviously, if you start feeling those sorts of things, then you want to back off of the caffeine some. But I don't even get, like, caffeine withdrawal headaches. Like, if I don't take caffeine, some people claim that they get headaches or whatever. I don't experience that. Now, I stay very well hydrated, and that could be a very good reason why some people, you know, a lot of people just drink coffee throughout the day. They don't drink any water or anything. Very few people even drink water during the day. So that could be part of it, you know, why they're experiencing that. But I do, like I said, it's always been shown safe to do upwards of 500 milligrams per day, and to me it's been totally safe. Now, I also use it during my workout. I have, in my homemade supplements secrets book, I have my own personal formula in there for pre-workout supplementation, and then I have a during-workout supplement that I use that is killer. It is absolutely phenomenal, and it does include some caffeine in it as well, so that's how I use it.
That's okay, so for people who are new to caffeine, let's just make sure they get started off on a good foot, like maybe start off with 100 milligrams, see how it feels.
Yeah.
And maybe boost it up if they don't feel like they got enough of a boost. Does that
yeah,
sound
sure.
logical?
Yeah, if you want to be kind of foo-foo-y and put on your little leotards and put on 100 milligrams. No, that's very sound advice. That's very sound advice. And start out small. See what it does to you, because you don't want to go in there and all of a sudden have a nervous breakdown in front of everybody at the gym, because then you'll have to find a new membership somewhere else. It'll be too embarrassing. So
caffeine will also make you sweat. It does a lot of things. You know, it'll raise your heart rate. It'll... you know, raise your intensity, it'll make you sweat. So, it's, you know, if someone's never done it before, they should probably take it easy.
Yeah. But again, if you're, you know, if you consider, if you're drinking coffee now, and you can do, like I said, if you do, like, one cup of coffee has about 86 milligrams of coffee. So that's a pretty good, so one tablet that you get from Walgreens or wherever is equal to about 2.5 cups of coffee. That's a good gauge for people that do drink coffee of what you would experience from an actual, like, tablet of caffeine.
Right.
Okay? Okay, weight room warfare secret number 4, no distractions. Now, we already talked about bringing music to the gym, and they actually did a study with this, and I think it was the University of Wisconsin. I actually just wrote an article about it, and they did a study with music versus no music, and what your actual output was. And it was a very well done study. And what they found was that people that listened to music were able to do upwards of 20% more repetitions in their workout. These were 3-set workouts. They do up to 20% more repetitions than the people that weren't listening to music. Now, I attribute this to a couple of things, because I saw a study about this a number of years ago also, because they were trying to figure out what music actually did work for stimulating this. And what they found was, at the time, techno music was what stimulated the most output and intensity during the workout. Okay, so, you know, Flock of Seagulls or whatever people were listening to, I don't know, but, you know,
it didn't
techno
work.
Yeah. So, and in my opinion, like, my wife listens to, I don't know, it's like Michael Bolton or something when she's running. I can't imagine working out to the stuff that she listens to. Me, I'm like hardcore, like metal rap. Just, I mean, don't get near me on the gym floor. It's, I mean, I'll pull out a 45 and just start shooting people. I mean, it's like I get really hardcore with my music, because that's what gets my adrenaline going, and I can feel that. I get to the gym, I kind of, you know, go out on the floor. I put my headphones on and I'm in the zone. Then I'm in the zone, and when I turn on that music and I'm listening to, you know, you know, whoever it is that I'm listening to. If you want to listen to like Metallica, stuff like that, I mean, that's the stuff that I find jacks me up a little bit, you know, more than anything. But
I just want to throw down for Metallica. I definitely listen to Metallica while I work out. It's
cool.
Definitely awesome.
You just got like 2 extra bonus buddy points in my book. Yeah, cool, man. Let's see. So one thing is, you know, you don't want any distractions. So music allows you to do that, because when I get to the gym, everybody wants to come up to me and start talking to me. I mean, they see me, you know, I'm always filming at the gym, so, I, you know, I've got the video camera going, and I've got, you know, we're running some videos for the Underground Bodybuilding Tips site. And so people come up to me, and they're like, oh, you know, what do you do? Or, if, you know, if they haven't seen me video there before. and you know, different stuff like that. So what I do when I get there, I have the headphones on. The other thing it does besides jacking up your intensity is it gets people the hell away from you. You know, it's like they don't want to bother you because they know that you've got to pull out the headphones. They know that you're in the zone. So that's kind of my signal to everybody, like, leave me the hell alone. I'm here to work out, so don't interrupt me. So that's the other benefit of it as well. Now, let's go back to those weapons that I talked about in secret number one about the towel and the water bottle and stuff. Because my suggestion to people, and I'm not very, this isn't very politically correct, but I am a firm believer in owning real estate in the gym. And this is really poor of me. But, hey, if you look at your workout like a war, then it's a battle. And everybody else out there is like your enemy. So everybody's trying to jockey for the same equipment. So you have to be the alpha. As far as I'm concerned, you've got to be the alpha gorilla in the gym there and make sure that you do this. Now, here's how I do it. Now, you can agree with me or not agree with me. You can call me an asshole for doing it. It's absolutely fine. But I, like I said, I have two towels. I have my water bottle. I have my training journal, right? I do everything in superset fashion. It's one of the cores of my the advanced mass building program that I'm just releasing now. Its supersets are kind of the core of it. So that requires using two pieces of equipment at the same time. So you don't want to start your first superset, and let's say you're doing dumbbell flies, and then you hop on over to do a set of a bench press, and you come back, and then there's, you know, some guy has taken over your bench now, and now you're off your zone. Now you've got to figure out, okay, now I need to jump onto another bench. Oh my God, there's not one available. So I have two towels with me that I spread out. I spread out one on my first piece of equipment, and the other one on my other piece of equipment, and I set my water bottle next to one of those towels, like next to the bench, and I set my training journal next to the other one. So I'm sending a signal there that, hey, this equipment is taken. Don't touch my equipment. Now, this could piss some people off. I mean, that's fine. If you go to a gym at a certain time, you've got to do your reconnaissance. I mean, you don't want to, if you only have one squat rack at your gym, and you go during a busy time, and you're trying to do your barbell bicep curls over at the squat rack, and you're doing supersets, and meanwhile, the monster who wants to do his squats, you're taking it up with your little bicep exercises. All right, that's not cool. All right, there is a certain code that I won't cross over. But if you do a recon on your gym, you know, make sure that you know what your alternatives are. You know, at least be able to flip from barbells over to dumbbells in an instant. At least be able to look and see what equipment aren't people using or at what times aren't they using it to help plan out what your training is. Because, again, it's all about no distractions. You don't want to disrupt that flow, whatever it is. So I believe, like I said, I take up real estate when I'm there. I take up real estate.
So, Bart, you know, and if you don't get the chance to take up real estate, then you can at least have a backup plan.
Exactly.
So that you know what you're going to do in the event that, you know, somebody comes and takes your equipment.
Exactly. Now, I carry around a bag with me. I don't know if you're familiar with like Body Elastics. Great, great set of equipment. And basically the tubes with the handles on them.
The tubes, yeah.
Yeah. So I always carry around a set of those because I love those things. I mean, they might be foo-foo-y. They might be a little girly equipment, or you can call them whatever you want. But I love the bands, and they're a great, you know, change. If somebody's, you know, messing with the dumbbells and I don't have access to them, I can slip out the bands and I can quickly do a set of lateral raises with the bands that will have my deltoids just pumped. So, I mean, like, having those options allows you to not disrupt your flow and not have any distractions and changes in your workout.
Good.
Okay. All right. Weight room warfare secret number five, intensity anchors. Intensity anchors. Now, everyone has something or someone or an event that's happened to them that when they think about it, it really pisses them off. I mean, like really, really like raw emotion. And, you know, it's got to be something that really like makes your adrenaline kick into overdrive so that you're seething with anger. This has to be something that you're really, really emotional about. These are what I call intensity anchors, because you can actually use them to increase your strength and get a more intense workout. Now, the example I gave of the 87-year-old grandmother lifting the car off of the kid, there's a, you know, obviously that's an immediate intensity anchor that happens. You're angry, your adrenaline is kicked in, you're lifting up this car, you're performing these superhuman feats of strength. Well, if you can find your own intensity anchor about something that, it has to be something that angers you, because anger brings out adrenaline. And adrenaline is what's going to really give you that, you know, the ability to tap into your strength and to really, really max out those repetitions. So find something that, I mean, I'm not talking about like something that really inspires you, like watching a Rocky movie or something like that. I'm talking about you need something that really angers you. And here's how you use it. Because it's those last few repetitions that I talked about that are so very powerful when you're actually getting the most out of your workout. So on a really, really hard training set, those last few reps, you want to find a way to tap into that adrenaline, that anger adrenaline, I call it, to reach deep down and pull out that strength that you're capable of. I mean, the other thing I use as an analogy is like a streetcar. You know, you've got your pimped out streetcar. Wow, I'm so street, aren't I? Your pimped out streetcar. I'm so cool. You know, you've got your car, and you step on the gas is one thing, but if you have nitrous oxide in your car, I mean, that's like rocket fuel, right? So, you know, you have, okay, you're cruising along, you've got the gas pedal pegged to the floor, but when you kick in that nitrous, goodbye. Well, it's that same type of thing. That's what adrenaline does for you. So on your last couple of exercises, that's where you kick in that nitrous oxide there with these intensity anchors of anger. Now, let me give you an example, because it's going to be different for everybody. But I used to use, because my intensity anchor changes from time to time. But when I was training, I was in Austin. I had a girlfriend in Austin. I had this girl I was just crazy about for like months. She went to the same gym that I did, and she worked. She was in the aerobic class every day, and I was pumping iron the other end. And finally, I got up the nerve to ask her out. We went out, and we went out about five times. And I was really shy with this girl. I mean, she was just killer, and you know, everything was leading the right way for me. And then until a very important time at the very end of a date, when she kind of like totally dissed me, like just totally dissed me. Now, I'm like, in my mind, I know what's happening. I'm not going to go into all the details here, but it really pissed me off. And because I felt like I was led on, and she really ticked me off. Now, that stuck with me for so long. And she used to do this thing to me, like, it was as a joke, but she used to put that L up to her head, like with her fingers. She used to make an L head, like loser. And
oh my
she was
God!
She was meaning it as a joke, like this was one of our little pet things, right? So after she really pissed me off and totally dissed me, on the I'd be doing a bench press, and those last few repetitions, my eyes would be open, and I would picture her standing over me with her fingers and an L on her forehead, and that would piss me off so much. You could have thrown on 3 more 45-pound plates on both sides, and I would have put that thing through the ceiling. Now, that's
right.
An example of an intensity anchor. For anybody else, it might be something like, you know, their divorce settlement. I don't know. It could be anything for anybody, but anger is the key element here. Anger is the key element. That's why I do so well, I guess, with rap, because, I mean, it's filled with anger. So when I'm listening to my rap song, and then I picture this girl, I mean, I don't give a shit now, but you know, that was one of the things that I used for like years. That was how much she pissed me off as my intensity anchor. Now, anybody can use that. Find out what yours is that really ticks you off, and you have to visualize that during those last couple of repetitions. Now, did I just turn this into like am I like laying on the couch right now like this has been a total therapy session for me?
Here's what I like about it. You mentioned that an interesting point, and that's that you don't use that particular anchor anymore. And on a certain level, yes, there might be some therapeutic benefit to it. The point is you probably have to dig around and uncover those places that normally we don't like to go. And there's a reason we don't like to go there, because we become filled with emotion and we become excited and a feeling of uncontrol uncontrollable rage starts coursing through our veins. But that's what you're saying we need at that crucial moment. So if you can begin to uncover these places in you that are so deep, they motivate your body, then what better place to use them than in the gym?
I like your explanation better. just the fact that I brought this girl back up tells me I have to get off the phone with you and call my therapist. I'm not over this yet, apparently.
Actually, I'll just start charging for the phone call.
I'm sorry, the time is up now.
But I love that idea. I think that's very powerful. I think that's very powerful. That,
really,
and probably nobody does that.
Yeah, it really, really is extremely, extremely powerful. And I actually use this in my – I'm also – I don't know if I talked to this before, but I'm also kind of a, for lack of a better term, kind of street fighting instructor. So, you know, I use this with people that I train in reality martial arts for an intensity anchor for how to dig deep into their own strength center for annihilating somebody like twice their size. And
mm-hmm.
anger is a very, very powerful – adrenaline is like the most powerful drug there is. Just it just is. It's insane. We used it in the military even because as our nerve agent, the atropine, all it did was, you know, when like the enemy did like a nerve gas attack, we always carried around these atropine injections, which were just basically, it just jacked up your adrenaline. Now, we didn't use these. This was only in terms of an actual like biological attack. You stuck these things in your leg and you went on fighting. And all it didn't save your life. I mean, people realize that. It didn't save your life. All it did was give you the ability to get up there and just fight through even nerve gas and be able to kill a few more people.
Wow.
So adrenaline is that much of a powerful drug, and you can do this naturally just by tapping into this little center here. Now, the last one I have for you is arguably probably the most important of all of the ones that I've given, and that is the power of visualization. The power of visualization. Now, I don't want this to be too esoteric here, but this is a really, really powerful tactic, and it is so, so overlooked. I mean, even the former pro bodybuilder, Lee Haney, who was known for having the best back in the business. I mean, the guy just, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal pro athlete with the help of some pharmaceutical aids.
We won't talk about those.
All he did, this is all visualization. That's how he got his body. But he was very fond of saying that he attributed his incredible back to his mastery of visualization. Now, people kind of looked at him funny when he first came out with all that stuff, but real people understood what that meant. Now, most people don't even have a clue because it does seem so esoteric. It seems like so kind of spiritual, I can read your aura kind of a thing. But there are some ways that you can really use the power of your mind to master this technique. And this has been proven now with pro Olympic athletes as well. Because there are three times that I say you can use this. Before, during, and after your training. So before your workout, let me tap into these Olympic athletes who were taught a form of transcendental meditation, which is a very basic meditation thing, but it's very kind of like outside your body type stuff. It's all done through mental imagery. And what they did was, during their training, but also right before they stepped up to compete, they were taught to do this visual exercise in their mind of them actually competing. And I'll give you an example. One of the things they did were like with high jumpers. High jumpers, they would teach that you close your eyes and you don't picture yourself jumping over the bar. I mean, that's what most people think of. It's like you kind of picture yourself, oh, there's the bar, I'm jumping over it, I'm going to be so successful. What they taught was you visualize yourself jumping over a mountain. Now, this is so out there. I mean, like we talked about earlier, like, Jeff, you're so like life and death with this stuff. Well, when we anchor these things in our mind that are really, really beyond actual reality, like these high jumpers jumping over a mountain, it sets the limit in their mind to almost like a limitless expansion. It sends a message to your subconscious that you're capable of more than just that 6-foot, 6-inch bar that's in front of you. You can jump over mountains, and this is very, very powerful. I mean, later on it became more of a self-hypnosis thing that people became more aware of, and how, and people are finally, you know, realizing just how powerful even self-hypnosis can be, but it's the same type of thing. So these high jumpers were taught to envision themselves jumping over a mountain. And this subconsciously set them up for success, and it guided their physical body to achieve more than what they could feasibly achieve with their own limitations that they had set for themselves mentally. So, you can use this before you start your workout. Get in the gym. Before you get started, sit down on the bench. Put your head in your hands so you don't look like you're, you know, ready to levitate off of the bench or anything. Just close your eyes. And then visualize yourself having an intense training session. Now, you need to really visualize this going over the top. You have to go over the top for this to really have a true effect. So the key is to make it very, very visual and very kind of absurd in a way. And one of the things that I use, Jason, you know in the bodybuilding magazines now, like one of the advertisements I see for supplements, they have these pro bodybuilders, and now they make them like satanic. They've given them these demon eyes. You know, like, take this supplement, you're going to get demon eyes. You're going to be possessed by demons when you take this creatine now. And it's this whole thing they've got that they've attributed, like, you're going to have such, it's a great mental visualization of just how you're going to be so jacked from taking this supplement. Well, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Closing your eyes and you're possessed. You're ripping apart the weights. You're chewing these things up. You have plates stacked on the end of that bar for your bench press and they're no problem. You're just putting these things up like crazy and you're doing an insane amount of weight on there. That's what I'm talking about. And as you do that, start your mental imagery. Start feeling that adrenaline kick in. You got the Metallica and the Guano Apes playing in your earphones, and you're just totally jacked intensity. That's how you want to start your workout. So that's the before part. Now, during it, while you're performing your repetitions, you want to visualize your targeted muscles as you're doing every single repetition. They're pumping up fuller and fuller and fuller with each and every repetition. So it's almost like you're blowing up a balloon. So each repetition that you do, your muscles are starting to get bigger and more pumped, and they're stretching out your skin on your body, whatever your targeted muscle is. Now, by the time you get to your very last reps, you're going to be imagining your muscles stretching at your skin, just ready to just freaking explode. I mean, they're going to get like cartoon huge, freaky huge. And that's nice. How you want to envision them. Now, this helps you in a few different ways. Because it increases your mental intensity, it makes things over the top, it really helps you dig down deep into the adrenaline, but here's the key. You're also going to engage more muscle fibers because that's where your mind's focus is. So many people just focus on just throwing the weight up, that they're not really feeling their muscles. They're not really truly targeting those target muscles because they're not focused on them. And by doing this exercise and imagining your targeted muscle group getting bigger and bigger and stretching, you're going to be able to zero in with your mind on your targeted muscle, and where your mind goes, the body is going to follow. Very, very important.
Got it.
Now, after your training, most people know that their body isn't trained, it's when you sleep at night, that's when you're doing your most muscle building. That's a key time there when your body has the ability to recover and get you some support and really start building some muscle. Now, this is when you also have a key opportunity to use visualization because you can program your mind and your body, just like a computer, to tell it what you want to accomplish. Now, this is one of the things that Lee Haney used to bring up a lot, but he used to talk about it a lot the way that I just did with during your workout as well. But here's what you want to do. You want to lay in bed in the quiet of your room, and you just turn out the lights. You're getting ready to go to sleep. And before you go to sleep, with your eyes closed, you want to visualize the body that you want to achieve. You want to visualize your body. You want to be very, very still, and you want to feel your muscles. You want to bring your attention, your internal attention, to those muscles. Now, this is a meditative practice. I mean, this is one of the things, like, for people that are taught how to meditate. It starts out as bringing your attention to your body. Like, you bring your attention to your toes. I mean, right now, you're probably not thinking about your toes. But if you were to bring your mental focus to your toes, all of a sudden, you feel your toes. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about visualizing your body, but then feeling your muscles, bringing your attention to your muscles, and imagine the repair and the building process going on. You want to imagine that all of these anabolic juices are just flowing through your veins, and they're starting that recovery period. You basically want to have this little kind of pictorial conversation with your body and tell it what you want it to do. You're going to visualize your body. You're going to visualize the body that you want to build. So you're telling your body, okay, here's what I want you to kind of craft for me overnight. So when I wake up in the morning, I want to have this gigantic muscle. So you're bringing your attention to your muscles, and you're imagining this repair process going on. Now, you only need to do this for about 1 or 2 minutes, right at the very time that you're going to bed. It's a perfect evening bedtime ritual, and I promise you that you'll notice better results from your training. Plus, you'll also probably get a better night's sleep. It's a great, great kind of just clearing out for the day and just getting ready for sleep at night. And, Jason, those are my 6 weight room warfare secrets for mental intensity.
Those are absolutely amazing. I've been furiously scribbling notes here, just trying to keep up and say, oh my God, this is gold. Let's do a quick recap just so we keep everybody fresh.
Sure.
Weight room warfare secret 1. It's a battle, and every battle has a plan.
Right. You want to make sure you get in there, hit it hard, and get out. And the only way to do that is to have a plan and make sure that you have your weapons at hand.
Weight room warfare secret 2, 1 battle at a time.
Full focus to every set, every repetition. You need to get in there. You need to make sure that your mind is truly there for one thing, taking that objective every single repetition.
Weight room warfare secret 3, caffeine.
Ah, I don't really need to expound on that. Just take a sip of your Starbucks. You know what that does. It's a killer, killer, often overlooked supplement that's very simple, very, very cheap, and very, very effective.
Weight room warfare secret 4, no distractions.
That's right. Leave the red-headed Pilates instructor alone. Go there, work hard, go in there, stick your earphones in, tell everybody to leave you the hell alone, get in there and focus on what you're there to accomplish.
Weight room warfare secret 5, use an intensity anchor.
Yes, and get therapy afterwards, like I'm going to after. Find something that really angers you. Don't worry about the inspirational stuff, think positively. No, this is what I'm talking about is not thinking positively. What I'm talking about is thinking negatively. Find a negative anchor that pisses you off, because that's where the adrenaline comes from.
And the last secret is that power of visualization.
Yeah, this is like the Jedi mind powers that you have, that you're capable of without the little green dude to kind of teach you there. Just, just use your mental imagery. The mind is a very, very untapped, powerful resource for you if you know how to use it. Use your mind to tell your body what you want to accomplish, and it will follow.
Years ago, a buddy of mine and I were working out, and I was getting ready to do a particularly heavy set, and he was like, all right, dude, you're all alone in the middle of the field at Giant Stadium. There's a sold-out crowd, and they are screaming your name. Lift this weight. And I got jacked up. I was like, oh, my God, I could see it. I could feel it. And that totally worked.
Yeah.
That last tip, I think, is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
The power of visualization is very, very powerful.
So very key. So very key. And what I like about it is that, especially if, like, on a good training day where you got done working out, but, you leave the gym really pumped. You leave it with a good feeling. You know, you're all jacked up and everything. And then it kind of, dissipates throughout the day and everything. But when you go to bed at night, if you can feel the blood coursing through your veins. I mean, I'm talking about like jacked up, like crazy. I'm just talking about you can feel your body just being there. You can feel it. And if you imagine that all of these powerful anabolic hormones are being secreted and they are going to take care of this recovery process for you, that's something you can really, truly experience and you can feel your muscles once again right before going to bed, and you know that you did a good job during the day. You know that you're gonna see some payoff for it too.
That's amazing. All those tips are outstanding, and I'm sure everybody's getting a ton out of just this information alone. But as we wrap up the call, we should see if there's any extra little tidbits we can squeeze out of you. Any more parting advice?
Yeah. A couple things that I didn't really put in. I mean, number one, you want to make sure that, like I said, I speak a lot to the advanced tips that average people can do to get above average results. That's what I'm all about. It's not about, just like I said, the advanced IFBB pros are using the programs. It's about the average people, how you don't have to settle for traditional, boring, lift this weight this many times type programs to be able to get above average results. But these techniques aren't for, if you're going to yoga class. You don't want to, have 500 milligrams of caffeine and, wearing your Metallica headphones and going into yoga class. So this is for people that are really, truly ready to tap into another level of results that, maybe they couldn't get anywhere else. And, the other thing here that I didn't bring up is how important breathing is to this whole process. And you can use this in a couple of different ways, and the way that I like to talk about it is, for strength purposes, be really, really focused on your breathing. I mean, most people are used to breathing out when they're exerting, but you get increased strength when you hold your breath through the first phase of the exercise that you're doing. When you have that compression in your diaphragm, that gives you an internal base to push off of for a lot of your weight training. And I think breathing is finally becoming a little bit more noticeable out there. The other thing is part of the whole adrenaline picture. When we used to, when I was doing reality-based training, and my instructor, we were teaming up with each other, and we were doing these kind of insane sparring routines. We don't use any padding or anything. It's basically you square off in front of the person in front of you. He says go, and you just kind of rip each other apart without actually gouging out eyes and everything. One of the techniques that he taught was the same thing that you see a lot of power lifters do before they lift a massive weight. You can see them entering that zone. They've got the 1,000-mile stare, and all of a sudden they start breathing very shallow, very rapidly. They're super oxygenating their blood to be able to really push out that last repetition. And then they're also kicking in the adrenaline. Those guys are thinking about, they're getting pissed off. They're getting pissed off. They're getting psyched up for just this one repetition. And you don't do that in the middle of when you're trying to lift that weight up. You do it before you go in there. Things that we talked about are all things that you can do before, during, and after your training to get that same level of intensity. Look what these guys are capable of with just one repetition, just by some of the things we talked about, some of those intensity anchors, some intense breathing, get yourself jacked up and ready to go, and you'll see a whole other level of your training that you just didn't even realize was there.
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. It's probably some of the best stuff I think I've heard in a long time, Jeff. Really well thought out, really well put together, and I'm psyched to go to the gym right now myself. I got one more client, and then I'm going to get the workout in. I'm going to put all this stuff to use right away.
Cool, man. Go slap on the Metallica headphones and, meet with your friends.
I will be there. Jeff, thanks for the call.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Something you can use?
Fuck yeah, dude. That was awesome.
Cool.
That was totally awesome.
Well,
I really hope it didn't show up, but I swear to God it was like fucking World War III over here. It seemed like every 5 minutes I heard a new siren.
Oh, really?
So I didn't notice. That's good, because I kept running up and sticking my head in my closet. And like burying myself in all my sweatshirts, so I was like, "Oh my God, I don't want anybody. I don't want to screw this up."
that's funny. No, I didn't even notice them, actually. I was trying
Perfect.
To listen just to see, because I was just going to throw in some joke, like, you know, I don't know, just something in there. But I mean, one time I was interviewing a well-known kind of Street Fighter dude, and we were talking, I don't know, it was something about how to destroy a person's body in some way or sure. And there was just screaming in the background. I mean, it was just screaming, and I was like,
what's going on?
Mark, what the hell is going on there? He's like, oh, that's my parrot. I was like, oh, it sounds like you're killing somebody back there. Like, you got to, it's like insane.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So I have had worse. I have had much worse. No, I didn't hear anything at all, so you're cool.
Excellent. Yeah, it should be a good recording.
Yeah. Well, I will flip you over a link to the download page where you can get the where you can get that download, the MP3 of it, and use it whenever you
Excellent.
Want. It's fine. So
I'm going to put it right up. I mean, right away, I'll put it on the site and
okay.
Cool. You know, boost it all up. But I won't attach the affiliate link for the upcoming program yet, right, because it doesn't come out until next week.
Not till Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I'm going to put it up right away, give everybody a sort of heads up.
Cool. I really, really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this before the before I actually do the launch, because this will be – I'm not sure whether I'm going to make this part of like a special, like just for Tuesday through Friday, or whether I'm going to make it a part of the program yet. I'm still trying to figure out all the bonuses and stuff.
Yeah, sure. Wherever it lands, I'm sure it'll be fine, because the content is the key, and that's great content. I mean, we have an hour of top-notch content, bro. And I got to tell you, I mean, I like a loose format, but most of the guys that, you know, men and women that I get on the phone or I talk to in person, whatever, we don't end up with a nice structure, you know, 6 weight room warfare secrets. Here's 1, here's 2, here's 3. I mean, that's pretty solid stuff. So,
yeah.
Anybody who sees it will definitely get a lot out of it.
Cool. That's what I'm like to hear. All right,
yeah,
man. I'm off to the gym. I got a few more photos to take for some stuff, and then I got some more writing to do. Whew. All right.
Busy.
I'll talk to you later, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Excellent. Thanks, buddy.
Yep, bye.